message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
The Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of being in your house. And I pray also that we will receive today the blessing of hearing your word. Lord, may your word come by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your word will bring light into our lives to bear fruit to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We're reading from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 from verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think that I said to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. And ever now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The first thing I want to say here is that Jesus is a star VIP. In fact, he has seven V's, seven star, VIP. Jesus is a VIP. The Bible says here that John was sent as one that will prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. That is what makes him special. In those days, the roads were not good. They were bumpy, they were rocky, they were rough. There was a lot of erosion, bad roads, that when an important personality is coming to town, some things will happen. Part of what will happen is that the herald will go into town, like a town crier. He will go and say, "Tomorrow the king of Judea is coming. Tomorrow King Solomon is coming to this town. Tomorrow General Ananias is coming into this town." And he will gather the people, and they will go and walk on the road coming to that village to make the road straight, to make the path straight. So they will level the road, fill all the bombs and all the potholes and everything, and make the road ready for him to come in. So part of what they hear in that culture, in that setting, when Jesus came and when John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord, that was what they had. And that was what they could see. So what does it say to them? They say to them that, number one, a VIP is arriving. And so John was going ahead to announce the arrival of a VIP. And that was Jesus Christ. I noticed that there are a number of things that Jesus never refused. In his humility, as humble as he was, with a very humble background. Number one, he never refused worship. He never said, don't worship me. I'm humble. I won't receive worship. He never, even when he was a child. In fact, when they brought the gifts to him, what happened? They worshipped him, even as a child. Number two, he never rejected that he was king. Anytime they touched that, he was firm about it that he was king. And he accepted that he was king. Anything that touches the essence of who he was, he didn't shy away from it. And so Jesus here was an important personality, and he wasn't going to shy away from that too. He needed to be announced. There was no way that Jesus was going to come to the scene unannounced. It means he's not important. And as Christians, therefore, we must see him as a VIP. How do you relate with VIPs? How do you treat them? How do you receive them? When they tell you that a VIP is coming to your house today, what are you going to do in your house? How do we receive Jesus? How do we relate with him? Do we receive him? Do we relate with him as a VIP? Make his path straight. And John was there to make his path straight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As an important... The language also talks about like, it's like rolling a red carpet for an important individual that is going. When you go to the airport and you see a plane just standing by itself and you see a red carpet by the plane, what does that tell you? It tells you that an important personality is coming there, perhaps a president. And so what they hear is they are saying he has come to roll out the carpet for the one who is coming, who is before John the Baptist. And at the same time, that also means that make the path straight also means to make the road easy. To make the road where difficulty in traveling for all the carriages and the carts to walk. And by the time people are coming, because of the rocks, their carts are falling off, that when you smoothen the road, it becomes straight. Jesus, by coming, makes religion easy. He makes the path for you and I straight. He makes it smooth. Imagine you and I that we are in the old covenant. How this Christianity would have been. Just imagine. Imagine that the Sadducees and the Pharisees are the ones in charge of this church. The Bible says that they sat there and they were looking at him because there was a man with a withered hand. Immediately they saw the man with the withered hand, they started looking. Let's see what he will do. And as you come to church and sit down with your issues, they are looking. Let's see whether God will take care of it. Let her go back with her issues. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus is the one. Pastor just told us now, my yoke is easy and my burden is. He has made everything easy for us. He has taken it upon himself to bring the new covenant unto us. He brings to us the new covenant. You know, I remember my dad. I will never forget this. When my dad became a Christian from Islam, he had two wives. So the holders of the tradition of the elders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, paid him a visit. And they said, now that you have accepted the Lord, it is proper for you to put away one of your wives. That you send one away. That is the condition on which he will come to church. If not, they won't accept him. Tradition of the elders. Difficult, making the road difficult. But Jesus has come to make the path straight. Make the path straight. And he said something to me I will never forget. He said, Yakubu, I have looked at this God. especially this Christian God. And the little knowledge I have of him, I doubt if he will take me and put me in hellfire just because I have two wives. I will never forget that statement. I will never forget it. An understanding of who this our God is. And thank God there was this vibrant new pastor that came to town. He was the pastor of the English session. He went and told my father, he said, they have to remove you and remove me from this church. But these doors are open for you. Come any day, any time. Why? Because Jesus has made the road. And that was how he was accepted into the church. He was going to English. My mother was going to her house, where the big men are. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Because if you have allowed the old covenant to continue, all these new people will keep implementing the old order. Where the road is difficult to travel. Where the road is difficult to travel. But he has come to make the path straight. And you and I, that is the work he has given us. To make people's path straight. To make people's path straight. Just like he introduced Jesus to the public, we are to introduce people to Jesus. And that is part of our work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If John, who was the greatest man ever born of a woman, would reduce himself and be a roller of a carpet for a more important individual, you and I should do even much more. You and I should do even much more. He reduced himself for Christ to increase. Why? Because Jesus is the VIP. And if the greatest will reduce himself, it means Jesus is the greatest of all. Number two, Jesus is mighty. The Bible says in verse 11, that indeed I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. Mightier than I. Jesus is mighty. You know, because of the way we paint him, because of the picture. So you saw his picture that we were showing on the screen and the things we read about him. We don't think much of his mightiness. He said, the one that is coming is mightier than me. Jesus is a mighty God. It's the same word. It's the same Hebrew word that was used in Isaiah 9:6 about God being El Gibeah. The mighty God, the man of war, the warrior, the great God, is the same word that was used here. Jesus is mighty, is our warrior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember when Israel were going to war and they saw a man drawn, with his sword drawn, standing and saying, and they asked him, Joshua asked him, are you on our side or you are on the other side? That was Jesus in his warrior state, showing them that he was a mighty warrior. The Bible says he returned from the wilderness after being tempted in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a God of power. That is our God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says all things were created through him, and by him, all things were created. There is nothing that was created. There was nothing that was not created without him. Everything. And the Bible says that with his own power, all things he holds together. He holds together. The star is in its place because of the power of Jesus. The sun in its place because of his power. The earth has not turned upside down because of his power. In his might, he holds everything together. He holds everything together. The reason why you don't leave the earth and start jumping and gravity is in place is because of his power. He holds it in place. In his power, he holds it in place. Your very body, he holds it in place. He holds your cells in their place. Hold your blood in his place. That it doesn't go to the wrong place. The Bible said that he sets boundaries that even the sea cannot transgress. Mighty God. He is mightier than I, the one that is coming after me. In his resurrection, we saw his mightiness. Even in his death, the Bible said darkness covered the earth, and the temple curtain was torn into two, and there was earthquake. Even as the resurrection, there was earthquake. He is a mighty God, and his mightiness is seen in every area of his life. How mighty was he that even the mighty Herod himself couldn't outdo him? Mighty Herod couldn't kill him. At the end of the day, Herod himself died and left him. When the woman of the issue of blood came to him, the Bible says she touched him and he said, "Power has gone out of me." The Bible says Jesus was preaching and power of God was present to heal everybody that was there. They said, "Who is this that has the power and the authority? Who has the power and the authority to forgive sin other than God?" He is a mighty God. He said to the sea, "Peace be still," and the storms obeyed. How mighty is this God? He said, "Throw your hook into the sea, and the fish that will come will have gold in his mouth." That sea, that field, that fish could not transgress. It had to obey. In his mightiness, he directed that fish until it caught that hook and it was pulled out. When he spoke over Lazarus' grave, "Lazarus, come forth." His mighty power shook everything. And Lazarus came out. Lazarus came out. He's a mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Jesus is the one who baptizes with Holy Spirit and with fire. John said, "I'll baptize you with water, but the one that is coming after me will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, the two of them are together. What we do is that we emphasize being baptized with the Holy Spirit and we leave out the fire aspect. But he said, "With Holy Spirit and fire." So they come together. So anytime you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit and you have fire. It's a combination. It's like rice and beans. I'm eating rice and beans. It's like salt inside water. And so you say, Jesus was baptized with Holy Spirit and with fire. So you cannot separate them. You be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What happens when he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit? The Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It's Jesus that gives you that power. Hallelujah. He told his disciples in Luke 24 that, "I will send you the Holy Spirit and you will be endued with power from above." That was his promise of the Holy Spirit baptism. He said the Holy Spirit will help you when you are weak. When you don't know how to pray as you should, by interceding for you according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit helps your weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Bible says, Jude verse 20, "Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, quickening yourselves, energizing yourself." Energizing yourself. All that is part of the power that he gives you when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You quicken yourself. I tell new believers, when I was in DTS, that one of the ways that can help you to overcome sin by this power that you receive by the Holy Spirit and being quickened in it, is that anytime you start feeling like doing something wrong, start praying in tongues. Anytime you feel like smoking, for example, just start praying in tongues. What it does is that it quickens your spirit. It strengthens your spirit. It energizes your spirit. It's like going to the gym and exercising. You are exercising your spirit. You notice that something will begin to happen to that feeling or desire that you have inside you. Why? Because your flesh is being brought low and your spirit is being quickened. Power of God working in our lives all the time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He will baptize you with fire. When Jesus baptizes us with fire, what does it mean? Remember in Luke chapter 12 verse 49, he said, I have come to set the world on fire. That was what Jesus said. I have come to set the world on fire. Part of that means that I have come to set people on fire for God. See, there is a fire you will catch for God that nothing can quench it. The three Hebrew boys said that, I will know that our God will deliver us, but even if he does not deliver us, we are ready to die. A lot of the disciples caught that fire. They were crucified, they were killed, they were burned, but nobody could quench that fire. When he sets you on fire, nobody can stop that fire. I said, I have come to set the world on fire for Jesus. On fire for Christ. That fire also purifies. It's the fire that also sanctifies the Christian. The cleansing of the fire. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. So there is a refiner's fire in the life of every believer. As you interact with the word of God, as you interact with the Holy Spirit, as you interact with other believers, there is a fire that is refining you day by day, day by day, making you better, encouraging you, strengthening you, and improving you, just like a metal that passes through fire. Another interpretation of that also means that it is also a fire of judgment. It's also a fire of judgment for those who do not accept Christ. The Bible says that if you don't, for those who do not accept Christ, they have their place in the place that burns, in the lake that burns with fire, with the fire that is unquenchable, just like we had here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is the processor of the harvest. The processor of the harvest. The Bible says here in verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor. Jesus is holding his winnowing fan. It's like a winnowing fork. In those days, what they do is that after harvest, you pile maybe wheat. The wheat and everything, after you harvest, you pile everything. Now, in order to separate the seeds from the chaff, you take them through the process of winnowing. So what they do is that they carry that shovel and they throw the thing up. As they throw it up, the breeze will carry the chaff, and then the seeds that are heavier will drop on the winnowing floor. So the Bible says that that is who Jesus is. He's holding his winnowing fork in his hand and he's going round. Everywhere he sees the harvest, he will pack and throw it up. The wind will blow, the one that will blow. And then the ones that are solid will land on the ground. And as he said that, that was what the people heard. And that was what they understood by their culture and by the things that are happening at that time. Now, Jesus in our lives does that all the time. He does that all the time. And in our lives, you always remember. The Bible says, you remember the parable of the tares. It says, a man went out into the field to sow. And after that, somebody else went and sowed tares among the wheat. And he said to them, an enemy have done this. What did he say they should do? He said they should go and harvest. And bring both the bad and the good. And then there will be time of what? Separation. The wheat will be go to this side, and then the tares will go into the fire. That is the separation. That is who Jesus is, and that's what he does. He separates people. Even in the last day, he's going to be there. The Bible says we shall all appear where? Before the judgment seat of who? Christ. Separation. Just like a judge. This one goes to prison, this one is free. This one goes to prison, this one is free. And so by Jesus, people are separated. By Jesus, people are separated, even in this world and into heaven and hell. Jesus is the reason why people go either to the right or to the left, because he comes with his winnowing fan in his hand. and he's throwing it, and he's throwing it. And everyone that accepts him will remain with him. The one that did not accept him will go the other way. Two thieves met him on the cross with a winnowing fan in his hand. One accepted him and went this way. The second thief rejected him and went the other way. And it's the same thing he's doing this morning. He has his winnowing fan in his hand. And he's looking at men. He's relating with men. He's talking to men. And every day of our lives, the Bible says, I set before you life and death. Choose today which God you will serve. Because he's a God with the winnowing fan and the winnowing fork in his hand to separate the chaff from the wheat. My prayer for you is that you will be on the side of the wheat and not the chaff. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Notice the humility of Jesus. For him to accept to be baptized by John. Notice his humility. And you know, I have seen that in the life of some people. Even in this church. That humility. They will come here. They have 5 degrees. They got saved 1962. They have done like 3 theological degrees. And they come to Family Worship Center and we tell them, go to DTS, and they will go. And they sit there quietly. On the other hand, I have seen others with a diploma from Mountain of Angelina Theological School. You tell them, go to DTS. Oh, Pastor, may I kindly request that I get an explanation of the exegesis and the inside workings of this DTS. Because as you see me, I am well learned in the things of the Lord. And he wants to be given assistant pastor straight after 2 weeks in church. And he will not go there. Jesus humbled himself and accepted. It tells you also that Jesus, he said, I did not come to break the law, I came to fulfill them. Jesus is a law-abiding citizen. Law-abiding citizen, even to the laws of the land. Remember when they came to take tax? He didn't need to pay tax. And he said a similar thing. To fulfill all righteousness, let's pay. Jesus is not the kind of security agent that when people are coming and there is hold up, he will follow one way because he's the security agent. In Nigeria, it's the upholders of the law that break the law. Say you know. Anytime you see hold up, there is problem somewhere. One soldier or one police has decided that since we are the custodians of the law, we can break it. But Jesus was not like that. Jesus followed the process. He said, if it's like this, I'll follow it. I'm not going to shunt, even though I have the right and all the introduction to shunt, I will not. I will do it. I will do it. He was designed for the greatest honor, yet he came in the most humble way on earth. The Bible says, before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Anyone that assumes the place of honor without first passing through the process of being humble is fake honor and it will crumble. The only honor that remains is the one you earn by being humble and you climb slowly and you get there. If Jesus himself, who was God, had to obey that rule, who was God? The Bible says, being found in the form of a man. He said, now I'm a man. Okay, I must follow the processes of man. Being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself, even unto death. Some of you, you are general or commanding the entire Nigeria. Now you are retired. Being found in the form of retirement. You still don't want to obey the laws. But Jesus said, I was God, I was in heaven, but now I am on earth. I follow earth. That's how I am. I'm a pastor here. When I go to hospital and there is any member of this church that is a doctor, I respect them for their office. Because I found myself in the hospital. If I go to the bank and I see any member of this church that is a banker, I humble myself. That is their office. That is their place. Their authority in that place. I'm not going to say, call that my member. Hallelujah. Amen. So you meet the cleaner, he's in his office. That is his cleaning place. You give him his respect. The driver is in his office. It's his office. You give him his respect. If his cleaning place, you meet the cook, it's his office. You give him his place. That is the example Jesus laid for us. He left an example that we should. When he spoke against the high priest and they told him, is the high priest? So he said, I didn't know. Remember the story of Paul? Paul and Jesus, the same thing. They respected constituted authorities. And so Jesus said, this is the man of the moment. Everybody get in time. Abi, if now on time you do, if now another person day, make you mellow. Now so the thing day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then he was baptized by John. He said, permit it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. The Bible says that the things Jesus began to do and... So he did that. And notice that his baptism is number one. He was baptized as an adult. Remember, he was taken to the temple for dedication when he was a child. But he wasn't baptized then. He was baptized as an adult. Number two, he was immersed in water. The word used here is immersion. He was dipped into water to be baptized. That is the baptism that Jesus was baptized with. And he has left us an example to do what? To follow in his footsteps. When he came out of the water, the Bible said, number one, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and sat on him. And then a voice from heaven, this is my beloved son. That's how they used to do now in the movie. In the Jesus baptism movie, this is my beloved son. In whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. That voice, he was confirmed by man, John the Baptist. And now he has been confirmed by God. The divinity and the humanity of Jesus, therefore, can never be questioned. Endorsed by the greatest man ever born of a woman, his humanity. Endorsed by the God of heaven, his divinity. Therefore, we cannot argue his divinity, we cannot argue his humanity. He is fully man and fully God. Fully man and fully God. He received all the endorsement. They were in place. And for God to make that statement, what does it tell you? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Parents will understand that. In whom I am well pleased. He's not only the son of God. The son of God. The Bible said that when the angel was talking to Mary, you will have a son and he will be called the son of God. So God himself is now confirming it. This is my beloved son. Not just my son, which is on the one hand, confirming that Jesus is the son of God, but beloved one. The one that gladdens my heart. The one that makes me happy. The one that does the things that I want. The one that aligns with me. The one that gives me pleasure. Can that be said of you and I? Can God look at you today and say, oh, my beloved daughter, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased? When you forgive that person, you say, my beloved daughter. When you give that person help, you say, my beloved son. When you pay that person's school fees, my beloved daughter. When you lead that person to Christ, my beloved son. Just looking at us, happy with us, excited with us, impressed with us, just like Christ. All the days of his life, every second he gave God pleasure. He gave God pleasure. And if there was anything happening, all he needed to do was to look at Jesus and joy will fall back to him. Jesus received the greatest welcome and the greatest affirmation. And there is nowhere, and nobody can argue it, if on earth the greatest endows him, and in heaven, the God of heaven endows him. And this morning, I present him to you. I present him to every one of us that is seated here. This same Christ that came in the form of man is for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we are praying. I want to pray for some people here. You may be here this morning and you say, I want this Jesus. This Jesus that says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This Jesus that says, the road should be easy. This Jesus that laid an example for us to walk. I want to pray for you this morning to have Jesus in your life. You may be here this morning and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I have been leading myself by myself. But from today, I want to hand over my life to him that he will take lead of my life and lead me through life. I will pray for you. Perhaps walking through life, you have realized that you've made a lot of mistakes. You have a lot of issues. Life has not turned out the way it is. Doing it by yourself. It's time for you to allow him to take over. Let him lead and guide you. He said, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I want to hand over my life unto him. I want to follow him for the rest of my life. I'm going to pray for you. You are here this morning and you say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need God's intervention in my life, in my marriage, in my business, in my affairs. I have seen that I cannot do it by myself. I want to invite him that he'll come and take over and help me. Anybody here, you need that prayer, just put up your hand wherever you are seated this morning and I'll pray for you quickly before we close. Just put up your hand where you are and I'll pray for you. Just put up your hand. I need the help of God. I need him in my life. I need a different direction in my life. I don't like the way my life is going. I need a different direction. I want a change. I want things to change. Just put up your hand quickly and I'll pray for you. Thank you very much. I see that hand. God bless you. Put up your hand. Thank you very much on the right. Thank you way behind. I see your hand. God bless you. Thank you in the middle here. I see your hand. God bless you. Any other person, put up your hand. People are putting up their hand. My life should not continue as it is. You don't want things to continue as they are. They need to change. You need a new shepherd. You need a new direction. I want to pray for you to break the power of Satan over your life. I introduce to you this powerful God that will reign in your life. Put up your hand. If you are on the balcony, just put up your hand quickly. I will pray for you. If you have your hand up or you want this prayer, just stand up on your feet. So I will pray for you. Stand up quickly on your feet wherever you are seated. Every eye closed, we are praying. Just stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Join these men and women.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.